Welcome, Ken. Welcome to the virtual summit on coaching for social impact. And very delighted to be speaking to you today about your work for event professionals for change and exploring what that means to you and what got you into it and what's the work involved and what are the outcomes you're seeking to create and how you know you've made those outcomes. So really looking forward to that. So welcome to the call.
Great. Thank you, Nick. Nice to be here.
Let's start off, Ken, if I may, by finding out who you are. Like, what's your journey to become a coach and why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So my kind of corporate career, like people have quite often, you know, a background in a corporate career was in communications and events. It's the events parts that will kind of lead on to talk about what I'm doing now in that space. So I was a comms director for many years, working in PR and comms. And then latterly, my last kind of full-time job in that arena was with the Olympic Games in 2012. And what happens with the Olympics is at the end of it, you're basically kicked out. And it's, thanks very much. That was great. Off you go. And what that did was give me some enforced time for reflection and to think about what I wanted to do. And that was really the start of the kind of journey that we often go on towards, yes, I'm a good listener, and maybe there's something in this coaching. So that led me to an Animas open day and a qualification with Animas back in 2014 through to 15, and then on to ICF accreditation. And for a while, I was still combining coaching with some of the PR and events work. So now I'm full time on coaching and mentoring. So that's the journey in its summary. Excellent.
That's really nice to hear. And I remember you joining us, Ken. So when you said 2014-15, I was like, oh, goodness, it was that long ago.
Yeah, that long ago.
It does feel time flies sometimes. Yes. So okay, so let's talk about the project you're involved in. Just give us a bit of a nutshell. What are we talking about today, and what's the project you're doing?
Okay, so I mentioned the events industry. And even though I sort of left that behind as a job, one of the big conversations in there was about sustainability and climate change. Because, you know, events are not very sustainable. You know, with flying people from all over the world, huge banquets at conferences and conventions and food waste, perhaps, and building exhibition stands that are just, you know, one-off thing and then they're just chucked. So there's been a big conversation about that within the industry now. How do we make ourselves more sustainable? And, you know, I was really interested in this, and I also wanted to keep a connection with the events industry because many of my coaching clients were coming from there. So I in short, set up a group called Event Professionals for Change. And the idea was to sort of take a coaching approach into that space. And because what I could see was, you know, people were still grappling very much with what they should do, what they should do personally, and how they can take action. And so there was all sorts of really interesting coaching themes in there around, you know, anxiety about climate change together with, you know, power and how do they exercise some power in their job. So this group was really about how do we deal with this individually, and how do we kind of convert ourselves into people who feel more empowered? And a good example of that would be, let's say there's an events agency and it's, you know, it's been set up by some guy 20 years ago. It's a money-making machine. It's all about profit. And then you have many millennials kind of coming through this going, do you know what? My purpose and my values are really important to me. So climate change, sustainability are really important. And you'd have those two people in the same organization with very different sets of values. So providing a space where people could talk about that and talk about what was coming up for them, but also to talk about, you know, maybe initiatives, things that were going on that people could collaborate on. It just felt like a really interesting space to be in with a kind of coaching approach. So I set that up at the beginning of this year. Yeah. 100 or so people in that, and it's, you know, it's already kind of producing great collaborations, networks, and people have said that there hasn't been anything like this before, so that's been exciting for me.
That's great to hear. So I guess there's two things that come to mind straight away, the practical side of it, but also why you? You know, one of the things I've been interested in throughout these conversations I've been having is what makes somebody step forward? And I'd like to come to that first. So rather than looking at how did you do it, which I do want to get to, I'm curious about what did you have to feel about yourself or believe about yourself or believe about an individual's ability to change something? You stepped forward.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting in this space because, you know, climate change and sustainability, you automatically think about having to be an expert in something. Oh. You know, climate change has sat for a long time with scientists, you know, with number crunchers, with all sorts of people. But in reality, of course, this is something that affects us all. It's something that we all need to find a way to respond to. So one of the first things for me personally was, well, you know, I'm not an expert in this. I don't imagine I'll ever be an expert, but I'm still a human being. And I'm, you know, still someone who wants to make a difference. So that was the first thing I had to work through personally. But the second thing was that I became aware that this was a growing field in coaching anyway. You know, climate change coaching in the last 2-3 years has started to come through the system in quite a powerful way. So I did some training, some specific training with some climate change coaches. It was a 12-week program which looked at everything from climate change anxiety through to looking at how we hold some existential kind of issues that, you know, preoccupations with taking some form of action. You know, how does my form of action make a difference to the world? So that was some training, but it was also a journey for me to get my head around your question. Why me? Why not me? Because this is something that involves us all as human beings, I think.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. Why not you? I think it's a nice way to answer it in a sense, isn't it? What I find with these conversations, Ken, is I constantly get different avenues I want to go down. Mm. And so building from that, I'm curious, this training you did,
yeah,
to what extent is being part of a wider group of people with a related set of issues important to your ability to then do your particular part of that?
It was really great for me because I would be sitting in that training with people who I felt, you know, had knowledge of sustainability or ecoism or some kind of expertise that, you know, never in a million years I imagined I would have. Mm. But they were still in the same group going, you know what, I'm still not sure of my own personal involvement in this and how I make a difference. So it was a great space to be in to share that vulnerability, I suppose. To be able to kind of talk about a lack of expertise but still wanting to do something. Mm. And what I saw in that was the power that coaching can bring to this. You know, it's like, it was about helping people with anxiety. It was about helping people find more purpose, possibility, opportunities. So when you sort of take a coaching lens to what seems like a scientific issue, all of a sudden you're going, yeah, actually I can now see how, you know, what I've got and what I have to offer can make a contribution and can help. So that was really empowering. You know, the coaching stuff in some ways was, you know, if you've done the Animas diploma or none of it would be unfamiliar. It was about the nuancing of applying it in this context. And some examples of that would be being really careful about judgment, for example, because you know, one thing that we all have is a concern about not being an expert, and therefore you might be caught out, and therefore the person who's coaching you may be judging you in some kind of way for not doing enough, for not you know, having solar panels on your roof or whatever. So, you know, there's some nuances in the coaching that apply specifically to this kind of area. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I can imagine too that judgment thing comes in the form of, let's say, the company you talked about earlier with the guy that set it up 20 years ago purely for profit, and the millennials coming in feeling that they want to do something greater than that. And how do you make change with that business owner without creating a sense of judgment in that space?
Yeah, and again, I think I could see immediately how coaching can and group coaching, for example, can have an effect in that, because within one organization, you may be bringing people in with very different views, and you may be looking at how you hold those views and how you arrive at an ability to communicate with each other, respect each other's values, and you know, and look at ways that you can sit in the same organization, do the same work, but equally meet each other's values at the same time. So you know, again, bringing a coaching approach into that, I could see could be really powerful, because otherwise, you know, that conflict is going to sit there potentially for some time.
Yeah. So let's look at the project in the practical sense now. So there you are. You did this training. You were inspired to do something within the profession you came from, and you created this group, Event Professionals for Change. And then you sort of said, in a kind of throwaway sense, got 100 people. And of course, you know, that process is not always as simple. And I'm curious, like, how did you get started? What was the process, and how did you get to those 100 people in a way that was meaningful rather than just like a bunch of people in a list?
Yeah. So while I was going through my own journey with this training and just trying to feel my way around to your first questions about me personally, what's my role in this? What do I think? I started having some conversations with just 4, 5, 6 people that I worked with in the events industry, and just started floating this idea and just said, hey, you know, what do you think? I think there's a space here for a coaching orientated group to look at our own personal reaction to climate change and sustainability working in events. So I had 4 or 5 conversations, one-to-one, and people just started saying, great, brilliant, love it, because you know, all of them felt they weren't expert in this. All of them felt a little bit guilty because you know they didn't know what to do or say. So actually having a space where that vulnerability or that ability to talk openly in a personal way, they thought was great. So it was a few conversations, and then I thought, okay, I want to take this wider. Ironically, it's just at the time that the pandemic started, and something in me went, ooh, maybe now is not the time, because it's all so busy and events have been hit really hard. And I went back to those same people, had a conversation, and they said, no, do it, get it out there. And that gave me the confidence to start putting out more widely, to start looking for speaking engagements, you know, to talk about this in platforms. And once I did that, yeah, rapidly expanded, because people were just putting their hands up and going, this is great. I want to do something. I'm not sure what to do. I want to find out more, have conversations. So, you know, it's once I'd made that commitment, it snowballed quite quickly.
Yeah, I use the language and put it out there. I've seen your LinkedIn posts, and they are consummately brilliant at conveying a message. And you've obviously got a great sense of humor and a great way of communicating, because it's your background. But a lot of people wouldn't necessarily know what to put it out there means. And I wonder if perhaps if you're not from a communication background, you're thinking, yeah, I've got this message, I want to get out there. Like, what are some of the key things you might do to get that out there?
Yeah. Well, for me, you know, I've learned through Animas and other Facebook groups about community. And so my kind of go-to thing was literally to set up a Facebook group to invite, you know, those people I've been having conversations with initially into that group, have some conversations within the group with them. And then just, you know, it would be a mixture of word of mouth. So guys, if you know someone who wants to come into this group, let me know. I would look for, I've mentioned speaking engagements. So, you know, the events industry loves trade shows and, you know, that kind of thing. So I was looking for the opportunity to get on a panel or you know, speak at something about these issues.
I'm sorry, Ken, I'm going to just jump in just to where were you looking for those sorts of things? I'm curious, was that LinkedIn or was it like where was the platform?
Yes, well, literally a physical platform in some cases, actually going to and speaking. But yes, I started posting on LinkedIn about sustainability and, you know, flagging up the Facebook group. So it was whatever channels that I was active on, I was pointing people towards this group and encouraging them to sign up. So, you know, at the core of this was a Facebook group that's a community, and a community that can talk to each other. So yeah, the main channels have been LinkedIn, public speaking, and Facebook have been the main drivers.
That's great. Great. So you've got this group of 100 people, and presumably it's continuing to grow. And you said you're bringing a coaching approach to it. So I just want to explore that a little bit. Is that you, the coach, or are you somehow inculcating a kind of coaching culture throughout the whole thing? And if so, how? Like, what does it mean to bring a coaching culture, coaching to a group of people who aren't necessarily coaches?
Yeah, a really interesting question, really interesting point. So from the very beginning, I said that this group was about inspiration, collaboration, and transformation. Inspiration, collaboration, and transformation. And by that, I meant, you know, inspiration came from hearing from other people and learning what was going on and what projects were good. Collaboration was literally people could come into these meetings and network with each other and hook up. And the transformation was it is largely driven by me, but it's me being in that space, being curious about people's personal reaction. So where people may be talking, you know, strategically about a project or something, I might just try and bring something into that and just say, yeah, but how do you feel about it? You know, what do you need? You know, what is it that you would like to get to support you? Because a lot of people feel stuck in this kind of area because it's so overwhelming and they don't know where to start. They don't know where to begin. And I wanted those people who didn't feel like they had any knowledge to come into this space and feel encouraged to kind of join in, but also to be helped with unlocking perhaps some of those issues that might be holding them back.
I don't know if you know this, Ken, but my first business was events. I used to run conferences on social policy.
Yeah.
So I do stuff on domestic violence and child protection and all sorts of stuff. Imagine I was still running that business and I went, oh, this sounds good. I'm going to look at how I changed my business by joining Ken's group. And I'm in your group. The stuff you're saying makes sense to me, but I'm thinking, how does it happen? So I'm in your Facebook group. How is that coaching happening? Are you doing it online? Are you like, just walk me through the kind of what you're actually doing.
Yeah. So the Facebook group will advertise virtual meetups.
Right.
So, you know, once a month or so, I'll put something in there saying we're having a virtual meetup, come along. I will look to a couple of people who may present in those, or so it's got a couple of topics. So the last one, for example, someone had they've written a guide to how to be both sustainable and COVID friendly, which I think is really important for people running events. So she presented that and talked through it with people. There was someone else who'd been working on another project to provide a whole load of resources and training for event professionals on climate change. So there was a couple of speakers. So, you know, I would say to you as someone thinking about this, come and hear what these guys have to say. But you may also in the conversation network with someone or see someone you think, oh, I'd really like to follow up with them. I'm really interested in what they're doing. Or you may find out you're not the only one thinking about something that actually, you know, you had an idea, here's someone else who's already doing it. Or you had an idea, here's someone to float that idea with. So, you know, it comes out of those conversations, effectively.
Yes, that makes sense. And in terms, so I'm just trying to think for a coach that's thinking of doing something impactful, and they're thinking, I must coach. It sounds to me like what you're doing is bringing more of a coaching ethos to a structure. And that structure can also contain other elements, be that speaking, networking, learning from each other. Are you doing anything that's, I'm just curious, that's specifically coaching, for instance, action learning sets or something where you're doing individual coaching? I'm just curious, like, how coaching shows up in a more deliberate sense.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, Nick. It's not something I think that happens now, because, you know, going back to your point that you made about turning up in a space with a whole load of people who aren't coaches, I'm feeling my way a little bit on that. But now I've done a few of these meetups and got a sense of what people want, I can imagine doing exactly that. You know, taking with the Zoom breakout rooms, with, you know, getting people to think about or look at a particular topic and come back. So I can imagine some group coaching techniques working within that environment and working really well, because you know, people turn up so positively and they turn up so collaboratively that I'm saying that like I'm surprised. I don't know why I'd be surprised, but they are. But they are, you know, people might be from competitive agencies. Yeah. There might be competitors outside of that group. So I do think there is an opportunity to kind of take some group coaching into that. I just haven't done that.
But it's great that you mentioned that like, it's funny that you say you're surprised, because I also get that feeling of surprise too. But actually, you're right, we shouldn't be, because coaching is, you know, if you think about it, coaching is just a natural human thing to do when that condition is created. It's not like you've got to completely rewire your brain for it. But I've been part of a mentoring group for many years where the people who come aren't coaches, but they understand coaching once it's happening. You know, they understand the principles of it without having to kind of be taught, here's how to be a coach. So yeah. I think that could definitely work really well for you.
Yeah.
So in terms of the outcomes you're after, Ken, like if you were to say, for me to feel like I've made some difference with this project, what would you be looking at?
Yeah, again, good question. And I think I'm at a sort of, you know, a phase of this where I'm now starting to think about that a little bit harder, because at the moment, you know, the outcomes, you could say, well, to give you an example, on one of the calls, there was an event management student, 19 years old, and some other people that had been in the business for longer. They both shared an interest in sustainability, and one of them actually gave her a job. So, and because of her commitment to the issue. So, so there's some micro sort of benefits to this that are happening almost by default. I'm speaking at something in October off the back of this group, where I'm hoping to kind of grow the group even further, but also to kind of bring what's happening in this group to a wider audience.
So I guess
the main output, Nick, is influence at the moment. It's influence sharing, allowing people to come together who otherwise might feel they're just doing something on their own, and to feel that they're part of a community. So they may be less tangible things, but people have really appreciated the space, I think, and the opportunity to.
I understand. It's interesting. We talk about, say, you talk about a micro outcome, but for that one individual, that's not a micro outcome, is it? It's
amazing.
It's micro in terms of climate change, but it's huge for that individual. So it's you know, one of the things I've come sort of taken from these interviews I've been doing for this summit is actually not underplaying the importance of the changes that happen, which are big for an individual but small for the project, and actually start to kind of really take the wins of what happens for an individual as well as for the bigger thing.
And I just thought of something, going back to your first question about my own personal change. One element I missed out of that was the book The Future of Coaching by
Hattie.
And you know, I finished that book and that immediately meant, what can I do? You know, what can I was inspired by all these ideas of, you know, what's the future role of coaching? What can we do as coaches that's, you know, more systemic, that's more, you know, related to our environment? You know, we talk about this a lot in our supervision. You know, what's the link to the wider world, and what's the relationship? So that really set a train of thought about being a coach and being a coach in a world that's hugely uncertain it's changing. And what can I do as an individual one person in a seemingly overwhelming environment? So yeah, it's good to think about those micro things because they are the impacts that you're having.
It feels to me like that idea that you allow the idea of a micro impact to hold you back, or a micro outcome versus a big outcome, is probably what stops a lot of coaches doing anything, because they feel like, oh, well, it's only small. But it seems to me that actually enough people doing a lot of small stuff makes a big difference.
100%. And you know, I can see, and even from this small group, I can see people going away, collaborating, doing something, feeling inspired. So, you know, I don't hold that lightly, as in, you know, I did have an effect on that. I fast tracked something, or I made something happen. And so that keeps me inspired too.
Yeah, it's great to hear. When you look back, I mean, how long has this been, by the way, Ken, this whole project from start to finish so far?
This one only started towards the end of last year. So barely even a year yet.
Yeah, great. Okay. So when you look back over those, 8-9 months or so, what would you say, if there are any, what would you say are the sort of significant challenges you had to overcome along the way?
It was definitely feeling slightly intimidated about going into, you know, a subject area and an issue that I didn't feel expert or knowledgeable in. That was one part of the journey. There was certainly some, you know, limiting beliefs about, would anyone listen to me and could I make a difference, and, you know, some of that. And it was probably overcome all of that just by having conversations and, you know, just having to start some conversations, being authentic about where you were coming from, what you were thinking, and trying things out. And so if anybody is thinking about some kind of social impact thing, it's definitely those early conversations that will help to steer it and help you to overcome some of your own limiting beliefs, perhaps, in what you can do. Because I now kind of think nothing of being an expert. It's all just what you tell yourself. And particularly in this area, if we don't all become engaged in something, rather than leaving it to scientists and politicians, you know, nothing will ever change.
Yeah. I mean, if I may, let me just pick up on that point, because it feels to me at least important to clarify the distinction between an expert as a teaching expert and an expert who owns the space. And it feels to me, as you've described the project, this is really a facilitative space around a particular theme, rather than Ken suddenly steps up as the professorial character. and I'm sort of curious on your take on that, and when you talk about being an expert here, what does that mean to you now?
I feel more like what's required is an expertise in human beings, or an expertise in being to hold a space and to like you say, to facilitate. And you know, we take that from coaching, we take that from group coaching. You know, I think that's all within us. I really do. And if our ability isn't particularly a subject matter or a topic or, you know, issue, if we have those skills of facilitating and holding space and being able to have difficult conversations if required, you know, those are great expertise things to bring into a space. So that's now how I view that. That's where my expertise lies. It doesn't matter about the subject.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. My own feeling is that when an expert becomes too expert, they really become an evangelist, and in many ways that can put people off rather than draw them in.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that's what in this space, you know, I was talking earlier about judgment. I think that's what people have expected quite a lot in the past, that someone's going to be taken to task if they're not a Greenpeace activist, or if they're, you know, if they don't know what the Kyoto Agreement is, and that I think has the potential for for holding us back and for us not to think of ourselves as human beings on the planet.
Yeah, that's interesting. We had a conversation with Robert because we were talking about, you know, how do you create a community of action, a sort of a community of impact. And one of the things that he was sharing was that it's really about not taking the mantle of yourself, but being about how do I get the people to be that force. And it's like stripping away the ego. And that feels to me like that's what you're talking about here. It's like, how is it no longer about 10, but about the 100 people and growing in your group?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if I can hold a space where, you know, a 19-year-old student, as well as, you know, someone who's been in the industry for 20 or 30 years, can sit comfortably and can feel that their contribution, their views and their values are as important as anyone else, I think that's really powerful. And people don't get that kind of environment in their day-to-day work quite often. So it can be really empowering, and I don't think we should underestimate that.
Mm. I'm curious, Ken, as we come towards the end of this conversation, in a way you're kind of building a, maybe you're conscious or not conscious of it, but potentially building almost like a blueprint for how you can take any theme and build a social impact community around it. And I wonder to what extent you're having conversations with people from your training group that you went through or other people who are not necessarily involved in environment, but potentially are having the same basic kind of question of how do I galvanize a group around a particular theme? I'm just curious on whether that's happening in any way.
No, it's not, but you've just inspired me to. that's a really good thought. And in some ways, this is the first time I've shared this, this kind of conversation. So it's really interesting. But you're right. I mean, these things, I think, you know, going back to Hattie's book, The Future of Coaching, how do we do this? Mm. You know, the inspiration I took is that, you know, you've got to do your own thing and don't wait around for someone to sort of tell you how to do something. Just get out there and do something. And then, yeah, you're right. There's probably another stage now to sort of talk to other people about this experience. If they're thinking of doing something similar, because you know the confidence comes from knowing you've got coaching skills and knowing you've got the ability to facilitate and hold a space. That's where the confidence comes from. There's definitely, I think, something I could do to kind of, you know, talk to people. I keep coming back to conversations because that's what it's all about for me. To help others and look at it, even if what I've got isn't perfect or right or wrong, none of that matters. It's about sharing, learning, and taking some action.
Figuring it out together, absolutely. Yeah, great. Ken, if somebody wants to find out more, I'm thinking that it might be somebody who's in events and thinks they want to be part of this, or they might be in something else and go, oh, I like that model. How could they find out more about you and what you're doing? Where can they go?
Yeah, two things. If you're an event professional, and are interested in the group is Event Profs for Change, and you just search that on Facebook and that'll come up as a group, and you can just request to join. So Event Profs for Change, and as for me, just contact me through LinkedIn. I think that's, as you would have seen, that's where I'm most sort of active, and that's where most of my connections tend to come from.
That's great. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today, Ken. It's been really interesting, and I'm kind of very curious about how this pans out in the future for you with you know, in terms of where it goes next.
Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it.